and thanks for joining us on Chicago Tonight. I'm Brandis Friedman. Here's what we're looking at. As federal workers worry about job cuts, Republican lawmakers look to create an Illinois version of Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. Governor Pritzker is set to unveil his next budget proposal. Our Spotlight Politics team has a preview.
It's not that it's new that people go into crisis, but how we respond to crisis is new.
And a look at how the city and local nonprofits are responding to mental health crises. And now to some of today's top stories. Some federal workers braved the bitter cold this afternoon to protest the Trump administration's cuts to the Environmental Protection Agency.
We clean up the toxic waste sites and we help stop the devastating effects of climate change. When we lose EPA workers at this scale, we can no longer effectively protect the public in emergencies like Flint, Michigan water crisis or the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio.
The American Federation of Government Employees Union, representing about 1,000 Region 5 EPA employees, slammed the firing of 100 probationary workers. The group says the move will impact residents in Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and several other Midwestern states. Workers say the agency is also pushing other employees to retire or resign, but meanwhile hasn't detailed how its work will continue without those workers. The 21st and final member of the Chicago Board of Education has finally been named. Southside native Sidney Wallace will join the hybrid board as Mayor Brandon Johnson's appointee at its next monthly meeting on February 27th. The mother of four currently serves on the board of directors for the Jewish Council on Urban Affairs and worked with that organization in campaigning to create the city's Commission for Public Safety and Accountability. Wallace's appointment comes 34 days after the other 20 members of the hybrid board were sworn into office and nearly 10 months since Johnson named his other 10 appointees. While the cold weather advisory may technically be over, the frigid temperatures have gone nowhere. Take a look at the wind chills from this morning. 17 below in Joliet and Kankakee, all the way down to 29 degrees below zero in DeKalb. The National Weather Service says the cold will continue this week with wind chills still 20 below tonight and a limited snow risk tomorrow. We'll get a reprieve this weekend with highs between 27 and 33 degrees by Saturday. So basically, sandal weather. Up next, what would a Department of Government Efficiency look like in Illinois? The bill's sponsor joins us next.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Jim and Kay Mabee family, the Polk Brothers Foundation, and the support of these donors.
The Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, was created with the intention of cutting government spending and decreasing the federal deficit. They've so far fired tens of thousands of federal workers and purged government agencies the Trump administration doesn't align with. Now there's a new effort to create an Illinois version of DOGE, inspired by the Elon Musk-led department. Joining us from Springfield is State Representative John Cabello, who introduced the bill. We should say we did invite multiple Democratic state lawmakers, but we haven't heard back yet. Representative Cabello, thank you for joining us. So first, let's start, please, with what an Illinois DOGE would do.
Well, obviously, we want to take it after what's going on in the federal government. We've seen that they have identified hundreds of millions of dollars in savings. We have a large deficit that we're going to have to overcome here in Illinois. I think it's about a $3.2 billion deficit that we must overcome. And we need to find ways of saving the taxpayers' money. For too long in this state, the taxpayers have been forgotten about, and it's time to make sure that they're in the forefront of our mind.
How would this one be, a local version, an Illinois version, be different from what we see on the federal level?
I'm not sure it's going to be very much different. What we're looking at doing, though, is having a committee of five members. The auditor general would have the chairperson, and the four legislative leaders would be able to appoint somebody to this committee. We're looking at folks that want to do exactly what I've been talking about, saving the taxpayers' money. We've got to find people that want to look at the duplicate services that we're offering. We want to get state properties back on the tax roll. There's a lot of different things that we want to look at and that we hope that they're going to look at to make sure, again, to save the taxpayers money. That's what we need to start identifying in this state. For way too long, we've been spending way too much. It's time to give some breaks to the taxpayers.
Are there particular departments or agencies in which you think a state DOGE would find some waste and inefficiencies?
I think every single one. There's, I don't believe that there is a director or a secretary that is in charge of a department that is going to openly say, yeah, we don't need this much money. The way it works in state government and the way it works in a lot of local governments is around budget time, they come around and they say, sorry, we've got a little visitor here. what they do is they say, use it or lose it. And we've got to find a way of stop doing that, because each year, if you don't use it, you lose it. And if you use it, then they're going to give you more the next year. So there's different ways that we can do this.
Illinois, though, already has auditing and oversight mechanisms in place. Why would this additional agency, why would it be necessary, and how would it work?
Well, again, I mean, it's we're not reinventing the wheel here. What we're seeing in the less than a month of the federal government doing this, they've identified hundreds of millions of dollars in savings. I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal to put a committee together quickly and to start looking at these different agencies. It's not rocket science. We should be able to look at this stuff and say, here is where we're going to be able to save. These are the programs that we can cut. I think we've got some pretty smart people that would be able to identify those in a very quick manner.
Now, those savings, though, Representative, they come in the form of many people's jobs. The White House Department of Government Efficiency has already made, as we've discussed, sweeping changes under the leadership of Elon Musk. Their targets so far have included the Department of Education, USAID, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, FEMA, and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, among others. Do you support those cuts that have been made so far, and do you anticipate similar layoffs if such a DOGE were to form in the state of Illinois?
Yes, and the reason why is because the government is not supposed to be a job creator. Government is supposed to create an environment for private business to flourish. The more government agencies that we have, there's going to be more burden on the taxpayers. So what we need to do is we need to create an environment for private business to flourish and get away from government jobs, so that way the taxpayers aren't burdened as much. When you have private industry doing this, the taxpayers are going to win.
So as we said, part of the new federal department's work, issuing massive layoffs to federal employees, including employees who live in Illinois. Recently fired EPA worker Nyla McCraney was at that federal workers rally in the Loop today, and here's what she had to say.
If there's no one working on environmental health, safety, if there's no one at the IRS, if there's no one at the EPA, if there's no one at the FDA, all of America will be unsafe. It's not federal workers who are your enemy. It is people who put profits over workers. It is people who put profits over the American people. That is your enemy. We will not let billionaires take over the federal workforce, and we will keep fighting.
So, Representative, you say, obviously, you know, the state and federal governments, their job is not to create jobs for other people, but is there not work that these agencies do that would still need to be done?
I think there are, but there was an incident in my district where the EPA was not able to solve a problem for 40 years. It almost becomes a fact of justifying their existence. We need to find people that will come and solve a problem and not take 40 years to do it. It was a gas tank that had been rectified, but they refused to allow somebody to build on it because they said it wasn't ready to be built on. And this was 40 years later. So it almost becomes justifying your own existence. And it's not what the taxpayers need. It's not what the taxpayers want. We've got to find a way of reducing the burden on the taxpayer.
Representative Cabello, we know Governor J.B. Pritzker is presenting his state budget tomorrow. We've got about 30 seconds left. What would you like to see?
Well, if he was smart, he would talk about efficiencies in government. If he was smart, he would sit there and say, we're going to do exactly what they've done on the federal government side. We're going to find ways of reducing the burden on our taxpayers because they've been burdened for way too long.
All right. Representative John Cabello, a Republican in Springfield for us. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Up next, our Spotlight Politics team with a preview of the state budget address. Governor J.B. Pritzker is set to outline his latest budget proposal in Springfield tomorrow. Meanwhile, Illinois Democrats deliver harsh criticism of federal funding cuts, and a letter from the city's inspector general blasts Chicago officials for interfering with their investigations. Here with all that and more is our Spotlight Politics team, Heather Sharone, Nick Blumberg, and Amanda Venicky, who is joining us from Springfield tonight. Amanda, let's start with you first. As we said, Pritzker tomorrow is presenting his next budget proposal where he faces a $3.2 billion shortfall this year. How is he planning to address that?
Well, Brandis, I wish I could give you more details. The governor, in fact, was just practicing giving his budget address in the House chambers where I usually speak to you and go live from, but we weren't allowed in because he was giving a run through of that address. What we know from the governor's office is that he says he is going to present a balanced budget. That is going to be difficult, of course, given that you talked about that huge deficit that was projected. We are hearing, however, that it's not going to be that large after all, that new figures estimate that you could be actually $1 billion or even more revenue coming in. That gives Governor Pritzker, as he gives his seventh budget speech, a bit more room to work with as he again promises balance. He'll have to present some sort of more austere budget and spending plan. At the same time, of course, he is the governor. He wants to make waves, make a name for himself, and put spending toward big name programs.
This also comes, as we've discussed, as the federal government, as federal funding faces some uncertainty. How is his administration going to handle that and take that into account?
Yeah, he has said that it's very difficult to gauge because you don't know what actually is going to happen. The Trump administration is all over the place. And further, of course, there's a lot of court action and there is not a lot of finality in terms of really what Illinois is going to be receiving from the federal government, what will be cut off. It is something that could present a huge gaping hole outside of that budget that we had talked about, the deficit that is, especially if you look at something like Medicaid cuts coming. That either means Illinois has to find a whole lot of money, we're talking millions and billions of dollars, or that people who have had government-assisted health care coverage are going to have to go without. I do want to add that the governor, of course, has been very out in front about slamming President Trump, the executive orders, the funding cuts. I expect we're going to get a lot of that tomorrow. He's had some zingers in previous budget addresses, and that was not when things were ramped up to this degree. So I'm guessing heavy on the Trump zingers during this address.
Amanda, what's at stake for Chicago here?
A lot is at stake for Chicago. You've heard the Johnson administration often talk about their desire to get more money coming in to prop up DPS. And then, of course, we also have spent a lot of time talking about the program, the funding cliff that Chicago and the Northern Illinois public transit agencies are really careening toward. And so those are things that people are going to be looking for the governor to give answers on. I expect that he is going to say, yes, more money is going to go to education. The $1 billion that CPS wants immediately, Illinois does not have the money for that. Governor has shown no appetite for it. He's also said that he's not keen to look to raising taxes. So that is what is at stake for Chicago, whether they're going to be happy with what they hear. We'll see on Wednesday.
Nick, we know federal officials from Illinois, they've been speaking out against the budget cuts under the Trump administration. What are they saying?
That's right. I mean, as Amanda mentioned, they've been really raising the alarm about how fast and furious some of these cuts and changes have been, trying to sound the alarm for things like proper staffing at the FAA, obviously top of mind for a lot of folks right now, for medical research, funding for things like HIV/AIDS prevention and treatment. But they also were raising the specter of some things that are really near and dear to folks and perhaps less abstract than, say, a National Institutes of Health funding this or that study at this or that university, but things like Social Security, Medicare, as Amanda mentioned, Medicaid, aid to schools, and needy, particularly needy students, really trying to raise the alarm here. We saw Senator Dick Durbin making the rounds yesterday, along with other members of the Illinois congressional delegation. But we also heard not just about the cuts, but as well as their concerns about the potential for, essentially Illinois-style corruption. We heard Congressman Mike Quigley say that firing all these inspectors general, or Elon Musk acting largely unchecked, sort of reminds him of some of the problems that Illinois has dealt with graft and mismanagement in recent years. Obviously, a receptive audience, to that. But we will see whether they can, get people's hackles up about something like a Social Security check.
I'm sure. So, Heather, City Council, though, scheduled to vote on a previously stalled effort to lower Chicago's default speed limit to 25 miles an hour. This is coming up again. Remind us how we got here.
Well, Alderman Daniel LaSpada tried last month to sort of push this through the city council, which would lower the city's, as you said, default speed limit 5 miles an hour to 25 miles an hour, but he didn't have the votes. And when you don't have the votes, the smart thing most of the time is not to vote. He's indicated that he's going to try again tomorrow. It's not clear to me that anything has changed in the past month. This was an effort months in the making, and there are real concerns that if this speed limit gets lowered, it will lead to more tickets and fines for Black and Latino Chicagoans, which was of concern to the City Council's Black Caucus and their Latino Caucus. So maybe folks have talked about this behind the scenes, and everybody is sort of are going to sing Kumbaya tomorrow at the city council meeting. We'll have to wait and see.
Nick, Cook County State's Attorney Eileen O'Neill Burke announcing that nonviolent gun cases would no longer be diverted to restorative justice community courts. Remind us what these courts do.
That's right. This is a story from our colleague Blair Paddock, who reported that, these are places where folks come, they take responsibility, they enter into a peace circle, and they come up with a way to repair the harm, repair of harm agreement. We actually heard about the chief judge of the North Lawndale Restorative Justice Court on Chicago Tonight yesterday. And they say these have, big success. It's a 6-month up to a year and a half process. And if they successfully complete it, these folks have their charges dismissed. Their record gets expunged. They cite a 13% recidivism rate for folks who go through one of these courts versus people who go through the traditional sort of criminal justice system at 65%. Now, Eileen O'Neill Burke and her office, they say they want state law makers instead to send folks to a gun diversion program. They've got some bills that they're pushing, but the folks who advocate for these sorts of restorative justice courts say, listen, that may be well and good that you may be well intentioned here, but laws take time to pass, and in the meantime they are no longer sending any of these sorts of gun possession cases to the restorative justice courts.
Amanda, briefly, as we heard, Illinois legislators, they're proposing a Department of Government Efficiency dedicated to the state, an Illinois DOGE, basically. What's the outlook for this?
I'm going to say, Brenda, that the outlook is not good, despite Representative Cabello talking about his desire for efficiency and for that to be something that Governor Pritzker focuses on. Republicans, they are in the super minority in Springfield thus far. Granted, it is still very early in the legislative session. That bill has not been assigned to any substantive committee, which is sort of our first signal that Democrats are not inclined to advance it.
Yeah, okay. Good luck to them with that. Heather, Inspector General Deborah Witzberg wants the city council to tighten the city's ethics rules. why, but I think we all know why.
Specifically, she's raising the alarm that the mayor's handpicked corporation counsel, the city's top lawyer, has intervened in a number of cases that she says could cause political appointees embarrassment. And she says that the corporation counsel should no longer be allowed to request a sit-in on investigative interviews conducted by the inspector general, nor should they sort of have the ability to squash subpoenas that the inspector general wants to issue. Now, this was a broadside from the city's watchdog to the Johnson administration. And of course, it's not the first time they've clashed. They clashed over the gift room, which continues to be in the news.
It is literally the gift that keeps on giving. Okay, gonna leave it there. That's Spotlight, everybody. Amanda Vinicky, Nick Blumberg, and Heather Sharon. Thanks. Up next, unique ways the city and local nonprofits are responding to mental health crises. Stay with us. For Chicago residents struggling with mental health issues, access to traditional care, such as therapists or medication, can be an obstacle. For example, there are no psychiatric hospitals located on the south and west sides. In partnership with WTTW News, students from Northwestern's Medill School of Journalism explore alternative programs. Here's Victoria Ryan.
On weekday mornings, 38-year-old Chris Ray can be found smiling and dancing with her peers at Above and Beyond Family Recovery Center. Ray has been attending classes here since August. She has struggled with depression and alcohol addiction since age 16 and is the single mother of a 20-year-old daughter.
I feel like in recovery, you really need to have compassionate people and people that honestly know what you've been through to actually do the job.
Above and Beyond is a behavioral treatment center aimed at providing mental health support and addiction recovery in non-traditional ways.
What got me into this line of work is my addiction. So I am an alcoholic in recovery, and I've got 39 years of drinking and using both.
CEO Dan Hostetler says the center relies on research and lived experience to customize programs.
We have art, we have music therapy, we have yoga, we have acupuncture. These are all ways for people to reach inside themselves, to celebrate themselves, to realize how good they can feel, how good they're allowed to feel about themselves.
Above and Beyond aims to provide a positive treatment experience for everyone.
They're very polite. Like, if they feel like you need a higher level of care, they help you and they put you in there.
With grant funding and donations, the service is free, allowing people to focus on recovery instead of finances.
So if we can help them get them out of here self-navigating their own lives based on their purpose and meaning, that's perpetual. That goes their whole life.
This is Ray's third time in recovery, which had been stunted due to being incarcerated three times on battery charges.
My mental health definitely was bad then. I went on a binge and just spiraled out of control, and ultimately I ended up going back to prison.
According to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, 2 out of 5 people who go to prison have a history of mental illness. In 2021, the city of Chicago launched the Crisis Assistance Response and Prevention Program, or CARE. It initially provided a team of both police and mental health responders when 911 was called. However, the police presence caused some concern.
I think that's kind of dangerous because you have police officers that, like, they're not, like I said, educated in mental health, so they don't know how to handle that.
The Illinois Criminal Justice Information Authority says up to 10% of police-citizen interactions involve mental health crises. Additional research estimates that police are up to 5 times more likely to use force if a citizen has a mental health condition. Police interaction during a mental health crisis in the summer of 2024 led to the shooting death of Sonia Massey in Springfield. The Chicago program, CARE, removed police involvement in September 2024 and rolled out mobile support vans.
It's not that it's new that people go into crisis, but how we respond to crisis is new.
For Ray, an interaction with a trained professional during a crisis made a big difference.
One of the officers, detectives, he was actually specialized in mental health, so he kind of talked to me and calmed me down, you know.
CARE's plans to expand in 2025 have been put on hold due to the city's budget crisis. However, programs like CARE and Above and Beyond are still trying to help Chicagoans.
The most rewarding part of my job, I would say, is ensuring that the people who need the help get the help that they need.
So we want to make all of this available so all of this becomes standard.
Ray says her recovery goes beyond herself. It's a chance for a future with her daughter as she graduates college.
Never been able to be at any of her graduations because I was always locked up. So to be at the college graduation, it's a big deal for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be real happy about that. So,
for WTTW and Northwestern's Medill School of Journalism, I'm Victoria Ryan.
And you can read more about this story on our website. And that's our show for this Tuesday night. Stay connected with our reporters and what they're working on by following us on Instagram at WTTW Chicago. And you can also follow us on Blue Sky at WTTW. And join us tomorrow night at 5:30 and 10. Governor Pritzker is set to deliver his budget address. We're live in Springfield with the latest. And a look at how body cameras can affect an officer's response to a deadly police-involved shooting. Now, for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Brandis Friedman. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy and safe, and have a good night.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that supports free educational initiatives in the legal profession.